Just needed about 15 more seconds. It would have been right on time. All right. Welcome one and all. We have enjoyed some fellowship, soup, sandwich, and a piece of pie. Topped off with some my coffee from Mike Lindell.
How did you know that?
That's what it tastes like.
That's what it is.
Well,
he pretty knows his coffee.
I am a coffee connoisseur.
I need to get some tea.
Yeah, some people think I'm being silly when I drink something that's not a dark roast. And I'm like, ugh.
Why would you?
I know.
Why cumbereth it the earth?
What'd you say?
Light roast doesn't have more caffeine.
Yeah, but see, that's not the point to a coffee drinker. He wants to taste the coffee. You addicts are out there just like, give me some. Now, I like a good, robust, dark roast coffee, and then people will send me some. And like Tim Horton's dark roast is not as good as... I drank it, but
I
it's been.
Love it.
We stopped going to Tim Hortons because their customer service was terrible around here. Everywhere we went, we traveled. We used to be able to stop at Tim Hortons, and their customer service just went down the tubes. I don't know if it's gotten any better in the last year or not because I haven't been there, but
no.
Hasn't. I sent them messages and everything. I'm like, you know, we love your restaurant. We used to stop in as the one place we knew wherever we went, you get the right thing. They did the same thing, you know, not anymore. You walk in a coffee place and they tell you they're out of coffee.
And they off thermodynamics.
Yeah, everything's running down. Well, let's sing about the eternal that does not run down. God, His Word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, page 84 in the hymn book.
What does that mean under the title? Heifer,
I don't even know. I think that might be the a title used by in another place or something like that. Down below it's Silent Night, and underneath that's the German, Stille Nacht.
Okay, yeah.
So, Stille Nacht. All right, Jenny.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. By joy of every longing heart.
All right, I gotta say, point that out. It's a little confusing. This song's a little confusing. The first line, you sing the two lines.
Because they're in brackets.
And then they're in brackets. And then the second and third, you just sing the top one for verse one and the bottom verse two. So, I'm sorry, I messed that one up myself. Now, I want to ask you a question. Am I singing that right at the end where it says, thy people free? Is that how it goes? The first line, the last two words? The first line top. Thy people free.
People free.
Okay. People free or something like
no,
that.
No, free. See, okay.
All right, take two. Give us that intro again.
Come, thou long expected. resurrected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Amen. Yeah, once we got it, we got it. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. 39. This is along the theme of our study tonight. This is my Father's world. All three verses.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the far.
One page over, page 40, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever
All right. Excuse me?
That was the third one.
That was the third one. Time flies and have fun, amen?
Yeah.
All right, onliners, as always, bbfohioprotonmail.com with your prayer requests. Raise your hand if you want a prayer card in the house. As Janie brings those around, we get the sound checks. Testing, you hear me back there? All right. And God, even our Father. Get the title of that right. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16-17 is where we will be. I'm going to go ahead and get my book open. You can do likewise. 2 Thessalonians. That's why we're here, the book. Amen?
Amen.
If not, you came to the wrong place. The rock concerts down the street.
Really?
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
All right. So hold your questions and comments, please, to the end of the events update. We're giving a what do you call it when it's twice during a week? That's not bi-weekly. That's
bi-weekly.
I thought that'd be
bi-weekly can be either every 2 weeks or twice a month, just like biannual.
Okay, well.
It's the English language.
Anyway,
language.
This report is for today, 11/29/23. More hostages being released each day. For that, we're thankful. Especially since I think probably 3 out of 4 of them have been children. Can you imagine? One of the kids let loose was a 4-year-old who her father was killed while he was holding her in his arms, and then they killed her mother. So she's going home as an orphan. It's just a shame what's going on. And we had more today. I heard 17 and I heard 12. I'm not sure what number they landed on. But the idea is, from what I understand, that they've agreed that for any day that they let 10 or more hostages free, there'll be a ceasefire that day. They've still got about 160 hostages, so this could go on for up to 16 days. They're doing this on purpose, obviously. But sadly, a number have died or will die before being released. They were asking for, calling for the release of the little baby in the middle, especially, and they are now, Hamas is claiming that the mother, Shira Bibas, and her 2 children died, and they're trying to blame the Israeli airstrikes. So some of these hostages are going to be dead, and then the investigation, if it's ever settled, we'll try to find out whether they actually were killed. And it's possible.
That is pretty convenient.
It is, you know, you're dealing with liars. So I want to give an explanation. I've been asked this a couple of times. Why is Israel going along with this obvious tactic by Hamas? Because it's obvious that Hamas is trickling these hostages out so that they can have more time to regroup. And the bottom line is they want to kill more Jews. And I didn't get the video clip. There was a video I wanted to get off of Real America's Voice, but I couldn't find a good copy of it to share with you. I was watching it live. But one of the Israeli spokesmen was explaining I had just been talking to Jenny, and I said, you know, even though they know that this is a tactic, we're still talking about human beings being released. And they're not they're not, you know, giving them anything other than a swap for soldiers, technically, although they are giving them...
3-1
Yeah, it's like, it's always been like that. Anytime Israel has swapped prisoners, no matter what the war, the situation, Hamas... Did you know Israel did it? This is how it goes. This is what you're going to find about most of the criticism of Israel. Israel, let's say, there have been times where they let like 100-1 to get one hostage back. The Jews would give 100 Palestinians, and you know what the complaint was then after they got that unbelievable deal? Then they accused Israel of just not thinking their lives are worth that much. So you can't win with people like that. But it's like talking to a liberal.
Yeah,
you just can't win. So that's why Israel is knowingly giving them this ceasefire, which is going to hurt them to some extent, militarily speaking. But that's they love their people and the lives of their people. And I think it was the first. I should know the name of the female prime minister of Israel.
Golda Meir.
Could not think of her name, and she was. She said that there'll be peace in the Middle East once the Arabs love their children as much as they hate the Jews. I think's how she said it, and that's the reality of it. But we'll leave it at that. We've given the go back and watch the previous Sunday and Wednesday messages, either live stream or the ones edited. Our current events are up there, and we've given all the information. But number two, just something to know. You've heard me talk about the military-industrial complex. Well, hand in hand with that is now the censorship-industrial complex. And I didn't make that term up, by the way, but we have been warning for more than 15 years that the liberal left is communism in drag. One of these days, you're going to take off the high heels and the dress, and you're going to find that they have weapons. And they want you shut up. They want you locked up or killed if you won't shut up. That is all those nice liberals, you know, I guarantee, I'm telling you. You know, one of the crazy things we deal with today is even among good Christians, you'll hear them say, you know what, you should see the good in everybody. Show me that in Scripture.
It's not there.
It's not there. What's the Bible say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. We know for a fact, that's one of the things, even though a lot of the founding fathers of this country weren't Bible-believing Christians, like Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and yet they've been the first to tell you that you don't trust man. You don't trust men. That's why we have the government with, they call the grinding gears of government, the way the founders set it up, because you have the executive, the legislative, the judicial, and it's a mess. And that's all you hear people complaining about. And they're trying to totally bypass that with all these big, huge bills that no one reads till after they pass it and all that. That is exactly what our founding fathers warned us about. And they told us, you've got to maintain the type of government we've given you because men are wicked. You can't trust men. These are all Christian movies, you know. Trust your heart. I mean, you see this stuff all the time. Family movies and everything. Democrat leftists are as dangerous as the Bolsheviks, the Nazis, the fascists, and the Maoists. And if they could disarm the so-called right in this country, they would kill you just like the Bolsheviks killed the unarmed Russians. And just like the Nazis killed the unarmed Germans. And just like the fascists in Italy killed the disarmed Italians. And just like the Maoists, they had a fight on their hands because there were a lot of armed, non-Maoist Chinese, but they were able to overcome because there weren't enough Chinese with weapons. This is what I'm talking about. U.S. and U.K. military contractors created a sweeping plan for global censorship. What you saw in the 2020 election was not spontaneous. They had been planning it since at least 2018. This is documented. Whistleblower makes trove of new documents available to public and racket, a couple of online news sources, showing the birth of the censorship industrial complex in reaction to Brexit and to Trump. They realized that if people had freedom, they would embrace freedom, and the left and their communistic Marxist death cult would lose.
That's right.
So what do you got to do? You got to shut down freedom, freedom of speech. And that's what they've been working on since 2018. This Michael Schellenberger was a part of the group that you're going to hear about in a minute that were given the Twitter files and showed that our communist president Biden and his administration worked like it's a communist, communo-fascist sort of thing. Fascism is when government and private industry gets in bed together to control the people. That's exactly what we have today in America. And they Twitter private Biden administration, federal government, got in bed together to shut you up and to destroy freedom of speech in America. And that's what this is all about. There's going to be a hearing. There was a hearing at 10 a.m.
Tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow? Okay, I thought it was. What is today, the 26th?
No. Today's the 29th.
Yeah. So he, though, is supposed to be there tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't know who, because they give both sides and everything like that. So in true fascist form, it's a government-private incestuous racket that is going on in this country. I got to say this every once in a while. Most Christians are totally clueless to the fact that they're losing their nation and losing their freedoms. Most Americans you talk to have no idea. And their pastors are a big reason for that. Rumble filed a federal defamation lawsuit against co-founders of a purported watchdog group. The lawsuit alleges that Jami and Atkin, the two people behind the watchdog group, cannot tolerate Rumble's content-neutral philosophy, and they want competing points of view to be silenced. Communists, fascists, they're all the same when it comes to your freedom. As cited in the suit, the defendants accused Rumble of lying to its shareholders and the SEC about the company's financial health and the source of its revenue. If they can prove that, those guys will go to jail. The name of the leftist communist organization that they run is called Check My Ads. And what they did was they're the ones behind forcing people like Fox News to fire Tucker Carlson. That's these guys. And they're in cahoots with Media Matters, which is funded by, I'll give you a guess.
George Soros.
Guess who? He's behind it. So that man just couldn't die soon enough. Yep. He is a devil with skin and has as much to do with the thousands of people being raped. You see those reports, these Mexicans and Venezuelans and others from South America are coming up to America, and the women and young girls are being forced into rape tents. And Biden knows it. His administration knows it. And they're gang raping these women if they want to come to America. And that's documented. It isn't Greg just thinking, this is going on. This is all documented. And the videos are out there if you care to see it. I'm telling you, I cannot believe that I watch. I just see everybody going about their daily business when we have the most wicked, disgusting president and administration in American history right now in America. And then the people that your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers are so perverted and twisted in their heart and brain and mind, they are so perverted that they want you to get to stay mad at Donald Trump because of mean tweets. And by the way, it's a huge number of the Republican establishments involved in it, too. Mitt Romney and people like that are just Mitch McConnell. They know it, too. They know all about this. They do not care. But the goal is total control, to put a boot on your throat. These are some of the propaganda that actually bragged and boasted about the desire to put the boot on your throat. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. Vigilance, eternal vigilance, is what is missing in America today. People don't have vigilance. They don't want to be bothered. Just let me live in my fruity little world I'm in. Don't bug me with reality. And that's what is killing this country right now. People don't love their freedom enough to actually be put out. That's what's going on. After billionaire Musk purchased Twitter in October 22, independent journalists, including Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, released a series of sweeping reports exposing a public-private partnership made up of think tanks, the CDC, the FBI, and the CIA. These reports are known as the Twitter files I referred to just a moment ago.
Thanks to Elon Musk's release of the Twitter files.
Twitter files.
The Twitter files.
On October 14th, 2020, Twitter blocks the New York Post story of Hunter Biden and suspends their account.
The potential power of big tech.
Twitter has de-amplified.
Shadow ban.
You got censored too
much.
Censoring information that was true.
I'm here today because of a series of events that began late last year when I received a note from a source online. It read, "Are you interested in doing a deep dive into what censorship and manipulation is going on at Twitter?"
Clear that Republicans were targeted.
Kinds of statements.
Today, American taxpayers are unwittingly financing the growth and power of a censorship industrial complex. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing the lead role. The Twitter files, state attorneys general lawsuits, and investigative reporters have revealed a large and growing network of government agencies, academic institutions, and non-governmental organizations that are actively censoring American citizens, often without their knowledge, on a range of issues.
Twitter worked overtime to suppress accurate COVID information.
We learned Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at State, even the CIA.
Moreover, we know that the U.S. government has funded organizations that pressure advertisers to boycott news media organizations and social media platforms that refuse to censor and or spread disinformation, including alleged conspiracy theories.
Another troubling aspect is the role of the press, which should be the people's last line of defense in such cases. But instead of investigating these groups, journalists partnered with them.
The censorship industrial complex combines established methods of psychological manipulation, some developed by the U.S. military during the global war on terror, with highly sophisticated tools from computer science, including artificial intelligence.
A focus of this fast-growing network is making lists of people whose opinions, beliefs, associations, or sympathies are deemed misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation. That last term is just a euphemism for true but inconvenient.
Documentary, and I'll refer to it again in just a minute, but as long as Christians and conservatives choose to use Facebook, YouTube, etc., we will continue to suffer for it. And I know a couple of you here probably use it. I'm not mad at you, and I don't want to know. Don't tell me. But you can look me in the eye right now. I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, it's because conservatives and Christians won't shut them down. And we're going to continue to suffer for it. Because you got to keep in contact with your relatives. Got to keep in contact with old friends. Okay, just I want you to know, you're sacrificing your country and your freedom so you can hang out with your old buddies and friends and relatives. If they loved you, they'll go where you go. Go to other social media, and if they care about you, they'll go there. If not, you just did yourself a favor because they don't care about you to begin with. Amen. I know who doesn't give a rip about Greg Miller. They don't give any effort to meet me in the middle and stay in contact. I left Facebook, I don't know how many years ago. Only a couple of the so-called friends. I got news for you. Those people aren't your friends. And as soon as they can turn you in, they're going to turn you in. But I'm just amazed that conservatives and Christians will bow in a submission to the most faggoty, sodomite, wicked, disgusting people to ever walk the earth. And Christians are bootlicking them. And without fail, it's hardly anybody I know that'll leave their stupid Facebook ghetto and turn off YouTube. And I'm going off on it tonight. And I haven't mentioned it for a while. But I'm telling you, people send me YouTube links, delete. Just don't do it. I went to one Facebook page this year because it was an apostate named Carlton Pearson who croaked and went to hell. And I went to see the last video he posted because the only place I could see it was Facebook. That's the only time I've been on there. And folks, I really believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe we're at the point where I better say something now or it ain't going to matter. And I'm not just talking to the people in the room, all the people that listen online and all the people on internet radio and all that. I want them to hear that. And it's just so sad that if Christians would turn that off, it would die. Yeah. If conservatives who say they're so brave, standing up for freedom, they all think, you know, that's the way they present themselves on their social media. And yet they won't turn off the communists. And there's plenty of social media out there where you don't have to support the communists. And they won't do it. Every time you click, there's another 10 million others clicking. You're making them the money that they're using to kill you.
Simple as it is.
That's all it is. We have a page, if you go to bbfwire.com and documentaries, you actually can go to the website under resources and click on documentaries. The first featured documentary you'll find there is this one. The one I was just referring to. Censored and Controlled. And we've got 28 hours plus of documentaries with information that every Christian needs to know on that page. So with that, be informed, pray, and act accordingly. Amen? Amen. Amen. So anybody want to comment or question before you move on? Mary? Bingo. Yeah. Yeah, of all the Christians who are just laying around doing nothing, how many are strung out on dope, both legal and illegal? Professing Christians, but they're doped up, you know? Jim?
On a Good Friday, the FBI did background guns searches for 240,000 people. But that's the last resort. We're going to need those guns because we're not doing the little things along the way. Mm-hmm. You know? That's not our first course of action. That's the last. So we can have all the guns in the world, but if we would do these little things before then hopefully we never have to use them.
Yeah.
But like you said, we're too comfortable. We're not willing to do those little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, what makes them think they're going to do the big thing when they're banging down your door?
Yeah.
You know? Going to put you
in a FEMA camp. I mean, you just think about it. Well, if you look at the other countries who, when they were where America is now, they did not stand up. You look at the history of any other country going down to the pit of hell the way America is right now, and that so-called silent majority they talk about. Well, when it came down to it, the rubber met the road, there's very few that stood up. I mean, there were a lot of professing Christians in Germany. There were a lot of professing Christians in Russia. And so forth. But everybody just gets used to being, you know, coddled and, like I said, living there. It's a fruity little world that most of these people I know live in. And they just think that it'll stay this way if I just don't look. That's how they think.
They don't want to live in reality. Just want
to
live in la-la land.
Yeah. So, with that, I just have to say this before we move on. I have to stand before the Lord and give an account for whether or not I told you the truth. Once I do that, then it's on you. You have to do what's right. And if you don't, you'll answer. Don't think, you can get by with just sleeping through this life or whatever, but you'll answer. The judgment seat of Christ isn't what most Christians think it's going to be. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be embarrassment and shame. There's going to be loss of reward. It'll be a far cry from hell, and it won't be anything like the great white throne judgment, so there's that. But there's going to be a lot of people who played games and just blew their life like it was just, you know, it's not yours. You're bought with a price.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why I believe strongly in these current events updates and in just laying it out. Flat out. Brother Darren, would you open the Bible study with prayer?
Lord, we just want to thank you for this time to gather together and fellowship. It sucks to hear all the stuff we're dealing with in Israel and stuff with social media. Pray that you would work on this country's heart. Us to do the right things in those subjects. We pray that you bless this time of study and help us to learn the words in that Lord. Jesus' name.
Amen. And God, even our Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. If you get your Bibles open, we're going to read there in just a minute. We're finishing up our study of chapter 2 with a close look at the Father and Son in a particular context. As we look at these two verses closing out the chapter, the text is simple and clear. We'll see that as we read. So if you're there, read both verses with me. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen?
Amen.
But false teachers and cults cause confusion on this. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. Now you'll have not just cults, but the people who are under the influence of those cults. And then some people are just careless Bible readers. And they'll point out these texts. There's a few of them like this. Now say, wait a minute. You're saying Jesus is God, but it says that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. Well, for starters, doesn't the Bible say there's one Lord?
Yep.
My Bible also says our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So just by calling Jesus Lord, and you'll notice the L is capitalized, you're calling him deity, whether you know it or not. There's all these cults that are referred to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're calling him deity, even though they deny that. Now, for those who don't know, when we refer to cults, we're talking about religions that deny fundamental truths of the Bible. They'll deny that the Bible is our authority, and so they'll give you a Watchtower magazine if you're a Jehovah's Witness. They'll give you a Book of Mormon if you're a Mormon. They'll give you anything in addition to or above the Bible. That is a mark of a cult. They'll deny the Trinity. And sometimes they'll even use the word Trinity, and they don't even mean what you and I mean. What we mean is what the Bible says. There is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Not three gods, one God in three persons. Each is equally and fully God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and these three are one. We'll see it verse in a moment. But they will deny the deity of Christ specifically. And they'll usually call the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, they'll say it's a, like a force. Like Star Wars, you know, may the force be with you, that kind of thing. The Bible says the Spirit is personal. Uses personal pronouns, he and him, for the Spirit. Says that the Spirit of God can be grieved, which is something a person does. And then Jesus is, what we're going to focus on because of the text, is declared to be God in Scripture. But they'll look at a text like this and they'll say, well, doesn't that mean Jesus isn't God? Because it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. As though the Father is God, but Jesus, even though he's called Lord Jesus Christ, he isn't God. That's what they do with this text. So comparing Scripture with Scripture, let's look at the deity of Christ. The word deity refers to him being God. Deity or divine. Divinity of Christ is another way they put it. The Bible is clear that Jesus is God, so let's run some Bible references. Go over to Isaiah 9:6. This is one that you'll see when you get Christmas cards. I got my, Jenny and I got our first Christmas card today from Dave and Janice Reese. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it's a very nice card. And then, but a lot of the times the cards will have this text on it. Isaiah 9:6. Give you a second to get there as I take a drink of my dark roast coffee. Isaiah 9:6, if you dare read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look right there in your text. Obviously a child is born, a son is given. That's talking about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, then it says that Jesus is, if you look down your text there, the Mighty God. And they'll play games with that. The Jehovah's Witnesses point out that he's the Mighty God, but he's not the Almighty God. And we ran the references not too long ago. There's Jesus is called the Almighty in the book of Revelation. But look over just a page or two back, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Read that. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, you may read that and it doesn't say much to you. You get a dictionary. Yeah, how many of you have seen the little books or online now, baby name dictionaries?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but if they're like the regular dictionaries, you may not find that Emmanuel means what it means because they've been corrupted in the dictionaries. So maybe the baby dictionaries are corrupt too. But look what we have in our Bible with its built-in dictionary. Sometimes it's real easy and blatant to see the definition of words. So if you go to Matthew chapter 1, and verse 23, that text that we just read, Isaiah 7:14, is quoted, but then there's a little additional information given by the Holy Spirit there. So if you're at Matthew 1:23, read that with me. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So there's no doubt about it. Isaiah 9:6 says that this child is born is the Mighty God. Then Isaiah 7:14 says he shall be called Emmanuel. And then we go over to Matthew 1:23. We're told that Emmanuel is interpreted as God with us. So the Old Testament presents the Messiah as God. God himself would come as a man to be the Messiah of Israel. And then in the New Testament, it's confirmed. Look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John 1, and I include verses 2 and 3. We'll see why, but John 1, 1 is the main text for his deity. If you're there, read that with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you can see there it says clearly, the Word, is it capitalized in your Bible? Word? capitalized three times in that one verse.
Yep.
And it says the Word, referring to Jesus, was God. And it says he was in the beginning with God. And that is taken to be a reference to God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit. And then it says he, all things, without him was not anything made that was made. Now what's funny is if people would, the cults would try to say that Jesus himself was created. He just happened to be the first creation. That's not what this says. This says that everything that was created by Jesus. He would have had to create it himself. The cults, when you just test what they're saying by common sense a lot of times, and it's unreasonable. So look over at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. I just think to a lot of people, their problem is the reason why they have a weak walk with Jesus is because their Jesus is too small. They don't understand Jesus is who he is. He's God in flesh. He's the eternal God in flesh. He's the creator. He made you. When you think about you being here, being even existing, the credit goes to Jesus. And look at Colossians 1, verses 14 through 16. I'm going to read the first. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Obviously talking about Jesus. Verse 13, I include that. Says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, capital S, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now read 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now you look up there, this says the firstborn of every creature. That's not talking about his natural birth. He existed before he was born in the manger. Being firstborn from the dead is what that's referring to. And we have done a study on that where we showed that that's what that reference to him being the firstborn is referring to the fact he's the first risen from the dead. And since he rose from the dead, he's promised that all who will believe in him, they will be raised from the dead. Jesus Amen. Said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:25. And so it's just clear scripturally his deity. And then, of course, this verse, 1 Timothy 3:16. I'm reading Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults, and he was talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses and how that the Bible is clear. He might have been talking about Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science Movement, but he was talking about how the Bible is so clear. He had just talked about how his view that the Vaticanus was the best source for the Bible. He just said that just a few paragraphs before. Then he's talking about these cults and he says, and it's clear that Jesus is God. Just look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, let's look at that. 1 Timothy 3:16, read that. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. I'm sorry, though, but Walter Martin, if he had looked at his Vaticanus text and the translations from that, doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh. The new versions take out the word God. It just says he was manifest in the flesh instead of God was manifest in the flesh. But our Bible has it in there, amen? They say, okay, but why does Jesus say the Father is greater? There's a text there, John 14:28, where Jesus said, for my Father is greater than I. So why do they say that? Because there is a hierarchy. That's our term. It's just the best term for it. There's a hierarchy within the Trinity, the Godhead. Greater is not better or even different. Let's dive into this for a second. God is a God of order, and there is order in the Trinity. Hierarchy, defined by Webster, 1828, an order or rank of angels or celestial beings or a subordination of holy beings. That's the best word we have for it, that their angel is still an angel, even though Michael's the archangel, and then there's other angels, and we believe there's different rankings. The Bible talks about the angels being in different ranks and everything. We don't know the specifics. God didn't see fit to give us the military handbook for the angels, so we don't know all the specifics, but we know they're there. They're all still angels, right? Amen? Mm-hmm. That's the same idea here. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Father is greater in position and authority. That doesn't change the top two lines.
No.
The hierarchy in the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In that order. We see it over and over. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's that order. Each is eternal, of the same substance, and share all the same divine characteristics. That doesn't change throughout eternity. They're all three eternal, for example. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Only in your King James Bible. Your NIV, New Living, Message, ESV, they rip that out of your Bible. It's not even there.
The whole verse is gone?
Whole verse is gone. Some of them will take verse 8, I think it is, and split it in two and pretend that there's a verse 7 there. Yeah. Jesus also said, I and my Father are one. So Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. He also said, I and my Father are one. How's that work, Trinity? This is how I've explained it for years. A man who's a father in his home owns the family business, controls the business and family accounts. Okay, you got that much? His son lives under the authority of the father, works for his father in the family business, gets his paychecks and personal gift checks from his father's accounts. Is the son less human than his father? No. There's a hierarchy in that home. The father is above the son, but they're both human. It's that simple with the Trinity and Jesus and God, even our Father. There's a hierarchy within. So Jesus is God, and God the Father himself makes this clear. And we'll close that discussion with the Father's own confession. God the Father says so. We'll take the Father's own words on the matter. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I want, for the sake of whoever, might not be anybody in the room, might be somebody out there, whatever, I'll tell you this. I've been in the ministry for 30 years. I've had people think that what I'm teaching right now is just so simple and basic they don't need to pay attention. I've seen some of those people join cults later. Because they won't study these basics. You want to go on a graduate school with God, you've got to understand God and his basic level first. And people just like, oh, yeah, I'm telling you, I've seen it. And I've seen some just totally quit God altogether. But it's, I don't know, it's just something weird. We live in a strange age maybe, but you've been around Christians and you try to talk to them about God and about Jesus, and they act like they don't want to, they're not interested.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. Huh?
People just go,
oh,
no religion.
No, I'm not being disagreeable here, but I find plenty of people who talk to me about religion and politics. Those same people who will talk about conservatives bring up Jesus and God. Not my church, They'll talk about church. Christian music, they'll talk about that. Those things. But talk about Jesus. The one we should be most consumed with, the one we should be most interested in and want to talk about, is the one most people professing to be Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about professing Christians who will just glaze over and walk away from you. I won't go on and on about that, but it's just, it's an amazing thing to me. I've told you about how I got saved and went to church and thought it'd be all about Jesus and the Bible and found it was really not about them at all. Most of what went on in the church had nothing to do with Jesus and the Bible. A lot about the denomination, that according to certain denominations. Others was about the movement. You know, there's movements, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot about their churches where it's all about showing the signs of the Spirit and rolling in the aisles and barking like dogs and, you know, and tongues and all that stuff. Jesus in the Bible, though. And I went to church for the first 10 years of my life, other than when I was the one teaching, 90% of the time I didn't learn anything from the Bible. It's just a strange thing. But Hebrews 1, 5 through 9 says, I'm going to read the first one. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This gives us our context. This is the Father speaking to the Son. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That word begotten is important. Didn't say he created him. That's why your Bibles that say, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. That's what most of the new versions say of John 3:16. It's garbage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus isn't his one and only son. I'm his son. You're his son. And even you ladies are called sons of God in the humanity, mankind sense of the word son. That's a lie when it says God gave his one and only son. What did he give? His only begotten son, meaning that you and I are created. All the other sons of God, including the angels who are called sons of God in the Old Testament context, they were created as sons of God. You and I are adopted as sons of God. Jesus is the only begotten.
He's the only one.
And then the new versions stick in John 1:18 and call him a begotten God. He wasn't begotten as God. He was begotten as Son. He's eternally God. So anyway, back to the Hebrews 1. I love it. It says, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You can't get more plain than that. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. If Jesus wasn't God, that would be blasphemy. But he's God, so the angels worship him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, read 7 through 9 with me. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Stop there. You just got to stop there. That's the Father talking to the Son. Thy throne, O God.
Amen.
From the Father's own mouth.
Amen.
Is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Read 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So, when you read in our text, just back a few pages, in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, that's in no way taking away from the deity of Christ. And then just by a simple comparison, we could have skipped everything we talked about tonight and jumped right to Hebrews 1. And it's God the Father himself saying, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then below that, says, therefore God, even thy God, that's a reference to the Father, similar to what we read in 2 Thessalonians 2. And in neither case does it diminish. It goes on just like we've read before about Jesus being the Creator. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Whose? Jesus. Creator. So that's settled. And that should comfort us and establish us on sound footing to serve Him. And sometimes I just want to stop and, you know, throw a little hissy fit. When I see Christians, professing Christians, acting like this is the life. You're like, man, this is nothing. I'm only doing what I'm doing here to please the Lord until He gets me out of here. He is God. He is Lord. He is our purpose. When we go to heaven, that's when we're really going to find the life.
Amen.
I've had Christians say, I'm just sick of this life. I'm just like, amen. They come to a pastor, they expect me to be one of these, you know, guys on TV and everything. Oh, don't say that. This is your best life now. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, literally, to hell with that. Take that book and burn it. Any book that tries to tell you that this is the life. No. Die. Because this life doesn't matter at all. Die to self. Live totally for the Lord. All this garbage you've got in your life that's taking up your mind, ripping your soul out, making you feel depressed, trash it, and totally say, I'm dead now. And I'm just totally going to live for the Lord. And you'll find satisfaction. I keep saying, if Mick Jagger would just get saved, he wouldn't sing that song anymore. He'd get saved and start singing, I just found some satisfaction. That's how I felt when I got saved. That's why a lot of that music that I listened to when I first got saved, I didn't stop listening to it as much at the beginning as a lot of it. I just turned off because the lyrics were like...
depressing.
Yeah. It was like a vacuum just going, sucking your soul out of you. So back to our text again says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I hear it in amongst our people all the time. I'm not going to stand around and pick fights over it all the time. But the phrase self-esteem is satanic. It's stupid. Stop using it. Self-esteem is stupid. It's satanic. Drop it. It drives me crazy. All the professing Christians running around talking about self-esteem. You need to die. Stop esteeming yourself and die. And some of these people are popping pills to get through the day. It's because of self-esteem. If they would just die. And then I, as a pastor, just have to watch people bang their head against the wall. Bang, bang, you know. Stop doing that. It's so aggravating. Because I love people. I love you enough to tell you the truth. But the government won't let me arrest you and cuff you and take you off somewhere and
re-education.
So all I can do is stand up here. We were talking about this earlier. You know, we're not a cult. Some people have accused us of that. We're really not. I just preach, take it or leave it. And most of the time people leave it. That's just 30 years of ministry. I've watched them just leave it. What am I going to do? Keep preaching it. Why? That's who I'm all about, the guy upstairs, as I say.
Amen.
I'm all about pleasing the Lord. And, you know, when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to stand here and say, well, I didn't want to tell them because I was afraid they wouldn't like me. And all I'm telling you is if you would just junk all the stupid garbage that you waste your life on, I'm talking myself, there's times where it starts to draw me back in. I start to get caught up in the stupid stuff. And I just get along with God and say, Lord, just take it away. Forget it. Get back on track. Serve the Lord. Spend your whole day. Of course, the rest of the world's going to think you're a Fruit Loop. Who cares? Spend your day for the Lord. Live for the Lord. Sold out completely. And you'll have an experience of His love, His everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And it says, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. And that's one of these things. All we can do is tell you, Jesus is our example and our source in word and spirit. He's the one that gave us this book. He's the one that gave us His Spirit. And if we will then turn to Him and allow Him to take over, then we'll experience these things we're reading about in these last two verses of chapter 2. And I want to close by reading, it's been a few months since we read this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Close reading this. I'll read verse 1, you jump in the even verses with me, 1 through 11. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. I'm sorry, I said chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I was looking right at the number 2, and I said chapter 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each self-esteem? No, the opposite. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just keep counting how many times in here it's the exact opposite of the self-esteem, what do they call it? Self-esteem, Satanism of America.
Yeah.
It's Satanism.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Satanism is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. It's all about you being you and you esteeming yourself. It's Satanism. And it's filled the church. Jesus did the exact opposite, and we're told to have the mind of Christ. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. So the Bible says, humble yourselves, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
Not to esteem yourself. The opposite. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue, read that with me too, verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So let us serve God in humility after the example of Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word. We thank you for the living Word in Jesus and the written Word He's given us in this book. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, all given to us according to the will of the Father, that through the Spirit we might believe on and worship Jesus, and in so doing glorify the Father to the praise and glory of the Holy Trinity, God in three persons. Blessed Trinity, three in one, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing the doxology. Stand up if you would.
second. All right, Jenny, lead us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
You to send yours into BBF Ohio at protonmail.com as we say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.